Welcome to another episode of Talkamania. Happy Rusev Day, folks. I'm your host, Desmino, passing over to my other host, who's part of the Lucha House Party, J-Bomb. Say howdy, J-Bomb.
Lucha House Party.
Yeah, because we run by our own rules, man, and if things don't make sense, we'll switch it up till it does make sense, and then it won't make sense.
Is that their motto?
Yeah, man, these guys are just changing the rules during matches. Three of them can be in at once, two of them, you know, I don't know, man. They don't even need to tag in anymore.
Yeah, that was weird.
So then it suits you quite finely because you, my friend, are weird.
All right. Good enough. Fair enough. It's been one of those weeks, eh, in wrestling?
It's been one of those weeks. Well, we're going to try to be a little bit more positive.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to succeed very well after this week's Raw and SmackDown. But it's funny because we wanted to go into this and be like, this show, let's just do positive. And it's just really hard to do positive. So we're going to touch on a bunch. We'll talk about some positive. But I mean, come on, you know, it's what we do on here. We like to critique.
All right. Well, what do you have positive to talk about from this week's Raw and SmackDown, my friend?
Well, I have something positive to talk about right now. And it's Talkamania, guys. So make sure to follow us at underscore Talkamania. Check us out on Spotify, on Google Play, on Podbean, on everywhere you can get your podcastic adventure kicks from. We're on ProWrestlingTees.com. Be like Jason Broadwell and pick up a shirt. Follow that guy too, at Jason Broadwell. Awesome dude, man. He likes to talk wrestling. So if you want to grow your wrestling community and you want to talk wrestling, this is a good guy to do it with, man. Hi, Jason Broadwell.
What's up, G? We also have some other some new stuff to plug. We have a partnership running right now with World Wrestling Manager. Check them out on the Twitter machine at WW Manager Game. I'm butchering this one up already, but basically they have an app where you can run your own stable or your own manager. It's really cool.
Man. It's cool. Take a look, and it's growing. And exciting. You want to be a manager? You can be a manager now.
That's it. Available on the Apple and Google Play stores, wherever you find your shit.
Check it out, folks. Cool. So how's it going, man? I know you said you've been busy. We were trying to record early in the week. You've been busy at work. You're working hard and hardly working. But you still playing Red Dead?
Yeah, I played a little bit today. I'm not going to lie. I just completed all the stuff in Saint Denis. You are correct. It is Saint Denis. And I don't know, I just met with the Indian fellow, and I gotta go somewhere.
So you were kind of close to the same place. I did a lot of the side quests, and I also spent like a lot of days just saying, I'm gonna get a legendary animals, I'm gonna get a legendary fish, and I've done so, except for the ones that are in Blackwater and south of the border, and the croc. I still haven't got the croc yet, but I should be able to have him soon because he's tied in with a story mission.
I'm just trying to bang Mary.
I like Mary.
She got hotter in the second time I saw her.
Yeah, she did. But I know kind of where the story goes and
don't
stuff.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, I won't. Yeah. But
I tried to pull a move at the movie theater and didn't really go over well.
Yeah. I actually looked online and you cannot pull no matter what. No matter what you try, you cannot pull.
I sat there for a really, really long time. I watched like all the way through the fire girl and I was like, oh, and I just got up and left. And
in the middle of the date?
Well, she came with me. She was like, oh, cool, let's get out of here.
Interesting. And she's like, go get drunk with her and be like, ah, like, yeah, remember that time, Arthur? And
she's like, come with me. And I'm all like, bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. So,
well, you're going to save some money and hopefully run away soon enough. But yeah, they actually have the online play too. And I actually went on yesterday and played that a bit. You have to do, it's just like a story mission online. It looks kind of more or less like Red Dead 1 in some regards in terms of the game modes. But it looks weird for free roam. Like when I went to check out free roam, there's free roam, but in different areas of the map. It's not just like free roam globally over the whole map, I think, which would be kind of stupid, but I don't know. I haven't spent too much time. I spent about an hour on there and then I went back to story mode, which I'll be playing again later because I'm really into it right now. So,
gotcha. You know, I'm enjoying it. I did pick up Battlefield 5, so that is going to split my Xbox time. And first impressions of that game, I'm not quite there yet, so we'll see.
All right. I picked up Dragon Quest XI during Boxing Day because I like JRPGs. I heard really good things about this one, and it was on sale really cheap for Boxing Day, so I picked it up, and it's just going to sit on the shelf for a while. Until,
you say
like,
JRPGs?
Yeah.
Sorry, no speak English.
All right, let's share the power of positivity and let's talk wrestling.
All right, so we have Raw, we have SmackDown this week, but one thing that also we didn't talk about last week because it went so, I guess, under the radar and the WWE didn't do an excellent job at promoting it, Starrcade, that happened last weekend, and I didn't even know until after the fact. I was like, oh shit, it happened. I forgot. Didn't even know.
It wasn't on the WWE Network.
It was on the WWE Network, but only an hour's worth of it. So it's really weird.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really weird. You go look at the card and half the matches, and if you look up on Wikipedia, it actually shows you this. Half of them are listed as dark matches, right? Fine. So when I had recorded Starrcade and rewatched it, I'm like, oh yeah, I know there's Charlotte versus Asuka. I know Bray Wyatt takes on Corbin. I know that The Bar takes on The New Day. And I was really excited. And even Drew McIntyre versus Finn Balor. But these matches, from what I, the viewing that I saw, all I saw was like Bayley segment. I saw Rey Mysterio versus Nakamura, which was decent. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe I saw, which was a decent match as well too. But then even Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. I'm looking at all these matches and they had D's next to them on the Wikipedia. And I'm like, why is that? And apparently they're all dark matches, so I don't know what that... Well, obviously we know what a dark match means, but I can't believe all these high-profile matches are quote-unquote dark matches, and I think they only aired the ones that weren't on the WWE Network. So the fans got to see, I guess, the whole event. So it's kind of like half the event wasn't even televised, and you had all these awesome matches that I would really have liked to see otherwise. So that was a bit disappointing. What's that?
Seems fitting. That they just, you know, leave the good stuff off. Typical WWE.
Well, recently. I guess a lot of it also kind of like plays with storylines, right? Because they had Bray Wyatt return and beat Baron Corbin, but he wasn't around this week. I don't know what they're doing with him. Charlotte Flair took on Asuka and beat her again, this time with a roll-up. But the match wasn't hyped, wasn't advertised, and it would kind of... Well, that's kind of... Why isn't she taking on somebody more story-oriented? And then, you know, we have... I wasn't looking at Seth Rollins beating Dean Ambrose in a cage match. He had a cage match. Yet we go on to Raw this week and it's as if they haven't battled yet, right? So,
yeah, you know, well, that's why that they were dark matches, right?
So yeah, a lot of it was too. It kind of pushes the story or it kind of goes off the story. Doesn't make as much sense. But like Drew McIntyre versus Finn Balor, you know, they could have had that at least. But I don't know. Maybe there's more to it. But yeah, there was Starrcade. And I wanted to say that the opening segment that I saw was Elias, and he was out playing on his guitar. He had Ric Flair come out and help him kind of like do one of his songs. Then Nia Jax comes out with Tamina, and I think Mickey James it was. And the interaction with the crowd was great. The crowd was instantly booing Nia. Nia was pretending to sing, but she was screaming, kind of shriek screaming like Jillian Hall used to do. And the segment was funny. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought the way that Elias interacted back and forth and kind of was making fun of Nia was fantastic too. I like Elias. I think he's great. I think he's really entertaining, at least for me. It's cool to see him get that push. I was reading today that he was in line for an Intercontinental title push in the past month or so, but with Dean coming back, they decided to go in a different direction with the title. So I don't know. It was an okay event for what I saw. I was just very surprised on how little they said anything about this one.
Well, it's almost like a house show, right? It's a glorified house show, and I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't even put it on the network last year, I don't think.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's Starrcade, right? It's supposed to be this honorable thing to Dusty Rhodes and to the old day, and I just feel like they kind of like made it... They kind of like, yeah, we do this for Dusty, but we don't even air it. It's kind of almost like they're sticking it to him a little bit. They like to stick it to people, the WWE, so I'm not saying that's the case of it, but, you know, when people lose in their hometown, you know, yeah. I just feel like it could be like, yeah, let's honor Dusty, but you're not the best, and we have your balls. Don't forget that. We're not even going to put this on TV, you know?
Fuck you, like, Dusty. All right, let's talk WWE Rise War. There's a lot
you
of Baron
Corbin. You can't
say
it was war anymore.
Yeah. There's a lot of Baron Corbin, though, and that makes me want to go to war. So
that's it, man. I'm telling you. Like, I tried to sit back and realize why Raw was so painful and boring, and I'm not saying in the right capacity Baron Corbin can't be all right, but, like, I don't know, man. These wrestlers who are also bosses, like, now we have Alexa Bliss now is in power.
Yeah.
But it just... I don't... And he just... He's boring. He sounds like he's reading off a teleprompter half the time. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm being negative. He has a lot of potential, and I think he can be cool if he puts back his old trunks too. I don't like the wrestling in the slacks, but yeah, it was just really boring in the beginning, and he puts himself in the main event, and it's just too much Corbin.
There's a lot of things that were weird about Raw. Like all of a sudden, Drew McIntyre is with Bobby Lashley and Baron Corbin, and he's not with Dolph Ziggler. It's like, I missed 1 week of Raw. What the hell's going on?
Nothing really was explained. I think having them together periodically is fine. It seemed like there was a point where they broke them apart, or they weren't around each other. And then they were around each other again, so that's fine. I don't know if that's the case here, but it seems like they're trying to put Drew McIntyre in more of a focal point of the main event, I guess. Mm. Having him being kind of one of Baron Corbin's bodyguards with Lashley. Now, I heard also there was a heavy rumor that if Braun Strowman wasn't going to be good to go for TLC, that it would become a triple threat match or something of that sort, where it'd be Baron, Lashley, and McIntyre versus Balor, Elias, and a third person. I can't recall off the top of my head right now.
Really?
I think they're kind of keeping that, and they're still not sure. But I'm hearing today that his progress is already positive, and he should be good for TLC. So they're expecting him to come back. And he's actually going to be on Raw next week. So
who, Braun?
Yeah, he's on Raw next week. He's being told he's going to be back. So I guess he'll have his elbow heavily wrapped, but he'll show up, which is good. Because this week, Baron's like, he won't be here for a very, very long time. And I'm like, shit.
We saw another open challenge, Seth Rollins' open challenge. I was kind of excited. They were hyping it all week. I know we're not trying to be negative. I think it was kind of lame that it was Dolph Ziggler, but they had a good match, and the ending was decent, so.
It's funny, because there's two facets of it. Yes, Dolph Ziggler again. Oh my god, really? But they put on great matches, like you said, and I think the WWE, knowing what they do, is like they really like to milk something, right? So they're like, oh, it'll always do good. Put these against each other. People are going to like it. The fans will be excited to have these two guys face off. Ziggler, I don't think, was there the week before. And yeah, the guys put on a great match, and I thought the fact that it ended with the Falcon Arrow like that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I've thought so myself before, like, man, it'd be cool if that would be like his finisher or something. You know, he goes off the top rope and then does that. And I liked it. I thought it's more organic. It also makes it more, you know, you don't know where it's going to come out of. We had a conversation last week about signature moves, right? Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. There should be more wins from signature moves. That's for sure.
And I think there's a lot of fan panic because they thought that the curb stomp was banned again.
Yeah.
Especially with them heading kind of more mainstream towards Fox. But Seth said, yeah, no, that's bull crap. So I don't think it's true. But who knows? Maybe he'll use the Falcon Arrow as well. But Ziggler's the kind of guy, too, where you'll wrestle against Ziggler and you'll beat him with, like, a DDT or something. You know? Like, which I kind of like. It's more, dude, man, if you would have done that move to me off the top rope and splatted me on the ground, I probably wouldn't have kicked out. So. I want to jump back, though. We were talking about how Alexa Bliss is now the boss of the female division. Now, this is new.
Yeah.
They're having one for the female, one for the male. And I kind of was like, well, that's stupid, but it makes more sense. It also keeps Alexa segregated, lets her do her own thing. I kind of don't want her being the boss of everybody. I want to see how this goes. I think it could be really fun. I think she could obviously play the troll. She's going to do her usual, I guess, mean girl brattiness on the mic.
Yeah.
And maybe favoritism to Mickie James or other people, but then, like, you know, always punish Bayley and Sasha. But the thing I'm curious here is now she's posting that she's been rehabilitating and training again to get back in the ring. So is she going to be wrestler GM? Because I was under the understanding they were putting her into this role in case she was concussed and she wasn't going to be able to compete again. So
interesting. I don't know. I mean, I guess they're keeping their options open. It's a little bit of the same thing. Like all these heel...
So many GMs.
GMs. There's so many heels though in WWE. Like... It's just,
Well, that's what everyone's saying,
no
too.
Balance.
There's no real big prominent faces. And I bet you that's a big reason why they're pushing Braun Strowman to come back earlier than he probably should be. He probably should take 2-3 weeks off. Sure. But I guess he wants to get right back into it, or they know they need him. Because without Roman Reigns there as well, too, that star power is just... I mean, Rollins is the man, right? But, like, there's only so much he could do. And
exactly.
You know, Rollins will go out there and put on a great match for you, that, you know? I mean, he'll do good segments. I think he's all around really well. But yeah, it's like, you know, he can't eat up the whole, you know, 2-3 hours. Look, Raw should go back to being like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. You can get a lot in there with the talent you have.
It'll never happen. Like, how many times this week on Raw, there was like 3 or 4 montages of last week that took at least like probably 50, like each one was like 5 minutes long. So it probably took like 15 minutes of the show. That's just so frustrating. They often give
you the same match like week after week. It'll be like Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley next week, Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley. And then like the next week they'll be in a tag. And then the following week it's like Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley. And you're like, dude, come on.
Okay.
Come on, guys.
What was positive then? Let's talk positive.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Pete.
Yeah. No Way Jose. No Way Jose was there.
Seth Rollins' open challenge was great. I like it. I like the match with Ziggler. I like the segment. It was good. I don't care that it was Ziggler again. It could have been somebody else that would have made me happier, but it could have been somebody else that made me more upset. So, you know, it could have been Apollo or something. So
I think I would have rather Apollo. I would have rather a fresh face against Seth Rollins.
I agree. I'm actually going to backtrack and say I would have liked
Seth
to see Apollo in there.
Seth is good enough to bring somebody else up.
I think Apollo could have done well as well. He could have done well too. He's just not really good in the mic. He's a smaller guy, so it's going to be hard for him to kind of succeed. But he's super strong, man.
You know what they should have done? Boom. I know he's a SmackDown guy, but bring in like Almas just for the open challenge. Just give us a good match.
I'd love that.
Almond. he's Almond now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too.
He would be great, man. Like, if his music would have hit, because, you know, we saw Vega.
I like his music. I like the way it comes in.
We see Vega on SD Live, man, and she's kind of like, they're kind of not splitting them up, but she's doing her own thing with the women. Yeah. And
she's
I would have liked
man.
To see them.
She's
tiny.
She's
really small. She's she's nice, though. I enjoyed.
I meant that in a nice way.
Yeah, okay. I enjoyed the Dean Ambrose shit with the needles. I think it was ridiculous that he didn't show up after he got all the needles for where he was going.
Yeah,
it was a little bit silly.
I don't know, man. Like, it's okay. I get it. I feel like he's failing at the heel promos.
No, I was
like,
just about to say that.
Yeah.
He sucks at it.
I think he's been better, though. I feel like he's done the heel before, or he's been able to talk that way. It just feels like it's not natural for him. Maybe
so
he has to
unnatural.
Be like kind of like the good grumpy heel. That's what he's got to play, because it just feels like he's going out there and he's like, it stinks, you guys stink, you're gross, you're vermin, I'm sick when I'm near you, look, I need shots. And he's literally getting needles on TV. Has that ever happened on the WWE ever?
It was
somebody actually getting needles on the TV and like getting on his arm, getting on his butt, like, so weird. And then he didn't go near the fans, so I mean,
it made no sense. But it was cool
having
to
him
see
do needles, though. It's like the closest you can get to having somebody doing like drugs on TV or junkie. Like,
it was vaccinations.
I know, but like, are they trying to like? What are they? They tried. It obviously was like, it'd be cool if we had him getting needles on TV. Like, clearly that went through somebody's head.
I think it was them trying to be like, okay, we always make heels make fun of the crowd. Let's do it differently. And they're like, they didn't do anything differently. They just gave him vaccinations from the crowd, which was silly. But he's. The reason why Dean Ambrose sucks at being a heel, and the reason why Dean Ambrose sucks at cutting promos, I think it's the same reason why Roman Reigns sucks, is because they're not good with scripts. They're better off being given an idea and letting them run with it. I really think we're seeing that more with Roman too.
Roman talks more on the mic freely.
And he's always better when he does.
Yeah, Roman's gotten better on the mic. Dude, I'm telling you, this guy's, when he comes back, everyone's going to adore him. And there'll still be lots of haters and stuff. And like, I'm not a Roman Reigns fan, but I respect the hell out of the guy. And he's going to get
you're going to get all the hipster fans that are like, you didn't like him until he got sick. You're a fake Roman.
But he's right. He's just not wrong. So
no, I know they're not wrong.
Yeah,
but
he's not wrong.
You know, whatever it is.
I feel like this is the guy's story, though. Like, Roman Reigns is going to be this big epic story. You know, he overcame a lot. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to have this cancer behind him. He's going to win tons of championships. Like, just, you know, he's just going
tons through more championships.
He's just going through some rough times, but it's going to define who he is. That's positivity right there. There you go.
That's positivity. Another positive thing. We're done with the Big Show.
I can't imagine that's how they're going to end it, right? Because that was like super lazy, no?
Well, are you surprised?
Well, it seems like Big Show had to get on a plane or something. And he had to get out of there. Okay, come in the corner quick. Let's record this quick thing. And it was super cheesy. He punches him. Sheamus catches him. Fine, we're better without you anyways. And really, like, that's it? Like, Big Show wasn't even on this week. So, like, it didn't continue for... I mean, is he going to show up next week maybe and attack them? Like, I don't know. So
it's either
he's
injured
and he
though.
Had to take out of it, but like, why was he inserted in the first place?
Does it matter? Because I'm not invested in that story.
I feel like that's it. I feel like either they realize there's no point in doing this because I guess they wanted to do the 3 versus 3, but maybe they should do this storyline where they're looking for their third and eventually they find the third. And they just kind of try a third person every like once a month. They try a different person. And then we can also see how the crowd likes it too, right?
Yeah, I think the crowd was definitely not eating up.
Not Big Show. No, Big Show. No, he shouldn't be around. I got respect for the guy. He played a huge part in the history of wrestling, especially WCW. Yeah. But
I think we're going to give it to the Big Show, though. He's another one of those guys that...
I will never retire!
I give him credit, man. He looks great. He's in great shape, but he shouldn't be around at his age. And you should be putting other stars in there. I mean, I don't know.
He's taking someone's spot. Like when the term
that's
is,
kind of it. That's
he's taking
kind of
someone's
it.
Spot, he's taking someone's spot.
Yeah. I mean, look, we saw No Way Jose would finally show up on Raw. I haven't seen this guy in ages, right? Yeah. He comes in and he loses to Jinder Mahal just because Jinder Mahal hasn't had a win in a long time.
You know what? I was going to put this, I forgot this in my notes. A huge positive is Jinder Mahal was on the show. And I don't care what anybody says. If this guy, if they can do the right things with Jinder Mahal, I'm telling you, he could be like,
yeah, I agree.
As
I
over as
so
Rusev
too.
Day was.
You have to rewrite his character a little bit. I think now that he's a little bit more than one-dimensional, he's kind of a bit... He can be a little bit fun and silly.
Yeah.
They can play with that. Yeah. But he would kind of have to be like... I don't know. Kind of like, you know when like Rollins was a heel? He kind of have to play like that kind of... Like coward,
obnoxious,
goofy, kind of angry, cool. I mean, I don't know. It's Jinder Mahal. I'm trying
I think he
best.
Just has to do the Shanti thing and be a little bit more funny and be...
You think,
and get
you think
booked
it's a face?
Better. I think it's like a Rusev heel face thingy. Rusev was still a heel because he was friends with the bad guys, but he was the comic relief to the
bad
guys.
Yeah, maybe they could do a Jinder with him. Rusev with him.
Yeah, and call him Jinder Mahalway and make him a hallway monitor. And he'd be like,
always back to
the hallways. You're breaking violation. I'm the Mahalway monitor. Chanti. What does he say?
Shanti. 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 Shanti.
So yeah, we saw the little guy explain... About pee-pee? I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of funny.
You thought him taking the robe, going to the toilet, and peeing on it was funny?
I thought it was all kind of good. I'm like, what? I'm like, how can they really have a storyline about peeing?
That's it for me. It's like...
And I'm like, I'll take it. At this point, I'll take it. Like, I'm looking at it as a positive of the show. I enjoyed that way more than almost everything else.
The fact that they're making a storyline about urine, like... And this had to go back to when they started it.
You're
right?
In
they were
trouble.
Like, they were like,
that was hilarious.
They were like,
it made me like the guy who should not be named. It really did.
Yeah, yeah. It's convenient that it was on his robe. Yeah. But somebody had to be like, okay, how are we gonna end the match? Okay, well, at one point we're gonna have him piss his pants, and it's gonna we're gonna continue a whole storyline about him pissing his pants.
I think he actually did like I'm not saying he actually pissed his pants when Big Show brought him up, but I think. He peed his pants for the show because because I think
if you have one shot at that, man. If you get fright and you get nervous, which I might, you know, I'd be like, oh, I got it, but I can't because I'm nervous. And then like you blow the spot. No,
did you see how
a
little bit of pee came out? He had like
they have that
droplets.
Shit set up, man. They know what they're doing, man. They have access to props.
What I mean is if it was going to be fake pee, there would have been a ton of it. He would have had a big stain. He had like a dribble. Like he did get stage fright.
I don't know, man. If you do get feared like that, like afraid, you might only piss that much because it's not like all of a sudden it's like psst, like your full piss. Necessarily.
You think WWE would do something realistic like that? They always go overboard. They'd make pee coming out of his fucking ears. That's
here we are
why,
talking about pee for like 4 minutes.
Piss isn't the only thing. Oh no, piss isn't everything. It's the only thing.
SmackDown Live?
Actually, I really like SmackDown Live.
I really like it, but I thought it was better.
I could be super positive about this. I loved Becky Charlotte to start it off. I freaking love the British girl, and I can't think of her name right now.
You must love her. Paige?
Yeah.
No way, bro.
I've loved Paige since she's been GM. Ever since she left Absolution, she's been really good. Becky and Charlotte were great. I feel like Becky had a bit of promo rust on her. She wasn't as good as she was. I don't like how they're making Charlotte kind of badass, too. I feel like it's taking it away. but I really liked it. I thought even when Mandy Rose came out, it was cool. When Naomi came out, oh, God bless her soul. I love that girl, but she is terrible on the mic. I love the Asuka chants, and I love how they played off of it. The crowd was hype. I really enjoyed SD Live this week.
Awesome. Thank you, sir, for your synopsis on SmackDown Live.
Yeah. That's my positivity.
Yeah, that's good. Shit. It was great. That was great. Yeah, I agree a little bit on the promo side. I think Becky does a lot of good kind of talk on social media. It's really funny. But then, like, you look forward to seeing her in the ring. And then a couple times on promos, I've kind of been like, oh, I don't get that real punch fire coming from the mic. It seems more basic. So I guess she has to sit down and she has time to think. But I guess as time progresses.
And she's also not told what to say on Twitter, I think. She has more leeway to do what she wants.
I hope they would let that translate more on the mic, I guess. I don't know. She's not bad. She's great. I'm on the Becky wagon. I like what I was excited to see her there. Yeah. But this whole Charlotte thing has kind of thrown a wrench, into her heel run. And we saw Charlotte, beat the tar out of Ronda Rousey and take that heel turn. But then now they're booking her as a face. So I don't really know what's going on. And
I think she's on her way to being a heel, though. I really do. I think she's. I mean, Paige even was like.
I mean, she took on the Iconics, right? She beat the Iconics. She beat two heel characters one after the other, and they made her look strong. And they're kind of booking her like a face.
Yeah, they're booking her like a face, but her attitude has changed.
Her attitude has changed. I agree.
She's wearing a leather jacket.
More hard, more of a badass. I get it. We'll see what happens. I'm just curious because we're going into TLC. Becky is going to be taking on Charlotte. We saw the women's battle royale then added to see who the third person to be entered in this match is going to be, which it's weird they're doing that. So we saw that match go on. I thought it could have been a lot more entertaining if they were given more time. I thought it was a bit sloppy, to be honest with you.
The ending was bad. Everything was kind of bad.
I thought it was sloppy. Lana was lost again. She was grabbing people to attack certain people. She would stop grabbing them. There's just even the Iconics. The whole thing wasn't nice. And the women are very capable of putting together a better match. I think they didn't have the time. They felt rushed. There were so many of them going out quickly, right? So in the end, we have Asuka and Sonya Deville, which I thought was really cool to give Sonya kind
they
of like...
They got an ovation at the end too. When it was just the two of them, everybody was going nuts.
Yeah, I think Sonya's kind of... I think they see potential in her. She's kind of grow. But she looks good and she can fight.
Their exchange was cool. And the tackle at the end was very cool. I thought it was well done.
There's so many fighters now in the WWE, with her, Shayna Baszler, the four horsewomen. I mean, the other two as well, too. Duke and I forget the other one. They're basically like, I don't know, at some point they can even almost make a small division or like.
Well, you got Ronda, you got Nakamura, who was an MMA guy. Strong you got Matt style. Riddle coming up.
But it's almost like you can have this whole like different kind of category. It's crazy.
Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, there's a shitload, yeah.
But yeah, when it came down to Sonya at the end, I thought it was great for her. It's definitely good for her. It gives her a bit of a rub. But I really would have liked for it to come down to Asuka and Naomi. I think that would have been really cool. They've been a tag team for a while and having them face off. I would be nervous. I would be like, oh my God, who's going to win? It could be Naomi. It could be Asuka at this point. And I kind of knew it was going to be Asuka because Sonya winning. Like, dude, that would have been pretty cool. I would have been down with it because it would have been so... A twist. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, there could be a lot of cool
putting Sonya in there.
Yeah.
Like, what's this going to be? Now I want to check. I want to watch it. Like, straight up, if Lana would have won, I would have been like, holy shit, I'm tuning in, man.
Wait, hold on, bro. You're not happy about Asuka being in the main event of the TLC?
I'm super happy. I'm going to get to that in a moment.
Man, there's so much salt when it comes to Asuka with you.
There's a star beside that because I kind of know why she's being put in there. I have a theory. But if Lana would have won that gauntlet match, imagine her going out there and just... The two of them just like beating the crap out of her and then beating up each other. And then she kind of gets up and does some stuff, beat the crap. Like, I don't know. I think it could have been really fun. And you had those few moments where Lana kind of, oh yeah, beat her. And I don't know. I thought, I'm already getting excited about it. But
I thought you would be, when I texted you, SmackDown was good. And you texted me back, was it? ? I was like, really, bro? Asuka opened the show. Asuka closed the show. When they showed the three of them at the end, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, mister. I'm pretty sure she's only in there to eat the pin, man.
She's
the sacrificial lamb. She's going in there. She's going to get pinned by either Charlotte or Becky. The fact that it's a TLC match straight up now makes me think that Ronda is going to get involved and probably give her karma. And then you'll have like Becky roll up Asuka, or maybe she'll tap out. Who knows?
Look, I got my hand up because I got a question for you. Would you have preferred Asuka not to have won this and just been Naomi's tag team partner?
No, man, I'm down. I'm down for her to be in this match. I think it's cool. I'm really excited to see her in a TLC match.
Yeah.
I want to see her if she can take a beating. I want to see her give a beating. Like, if you look at some of her work in Japan, you know, she's been in some pretty stiff matches. So I'm interested to see this one for sure. You know, I'm super excited. I'm just kind of like, I don't realistically see her winning it. I'm like, oh, well, I don't think she's going to win it. But I hope maybe they have been seeing the fans cheer for her the past few weeks and maybe try it. But we'll see.
I think people were excited, but I think the fans ate it up. I think it, I don't think the match. They have a
few weeks to build it up too. So who knows? Maybe like in 2-3 weeks, I'll be like, you know what? Maybe she could win it. But I think it's, you know, it's.
Well, I don't think anybody's beating Becky. I don't think anybody's beating Becky.
It's so like the WWE though to take it away. And they also want to build up Charlotte to be like 30-time champion. So
I know. Already 7-time. That was crazy. When she said it, I was like, what? It's so silly.
Someone already called her the most decorated champion of all time. And I'm like, huh? Oh my God. Like she that's is. Actually she actually is. So yeah.
You know what? I don't care what anybody says, man. Whenever I think of the women's division and the champ, I always think of Nikki Bella.
Drink, bitch.
I do. I'm sorry.
You want Salty Dez to come out, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I do, and that's my positivity. Another thing on SmackDown that I really, really did enjoy was the Jeff Hardy celebration. I liked it. It was a little bit different. I don't know if maybe I've missed it over the last few years, but I thought it was cool because it was like there was a bit of kayfabe at the end of it, but it seemed pretty genuine. I think there was a cool moment for him. Michael Cole didn't ruin it. I'm happy he stepped out of the ring. The montage was really, really fun to watch. It reminded me of when me and you used to watch it and me and you used to do our backyard wrestling and shit like that. So it's just cool to kind of go back in time. And then Joe just made it even better. Like he got super personal and I love when they're blurring lines like that. And I'm sure he went off a little bit. He must have gone off just like, you think? Like, how is Joe the only one who's allowed to do this?
Well, I guess, you know.
Because they keep burying him after.
Yeah, well, you know Joe's gimmick, kind of, right? So they kind of know that he's going to push those limits and those buttons. And we saw that with AJ. So I think, obviously, him and Joe are going to talk and say, like, you know, what can I say? And he's just like, say anything, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's more like
everything on the table. And then Joe will amplify it for sure.
Yeah, but it's got to cross over McMahon's ears as well. I don't think it's just between Jeff and Joe. I'm sure Jeff's like, say whatever the fuck you want. Joe's like, I will. And McMahon's like, no siree, Bob.
Yeah, definitely. I guess he has faith in him. He knows the kind of the character that Joe plays. And you said it best, man. You described the whole segment, what it meant, and Joe's involvement perfectly. I love his promos. I love when he comes out and he's nasty and he threatens and he plays psychological games. And, you know, he's tough. He'll fight, too. He'll drop the mic and just start fighting. You know, like... I don't know.
He doesn't do anything for me in ring though. Like nothing. Like I'm never like, oh, that match was so good that Joe was in. But
there's some good matches that he's been in. Usually the people that he's with as well too are like, you know, really good as well. But he'll take bumps. You know, he'll grind. He'll do. I don't know. I think he's put on some good matches.
Nothing that I'm like Like I feel like he's. He's kind of like a poor man's Kevin Owens as far as it goes in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Because Kevin Owens will take like bumps. Who's younger?
Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say. Like, I think by far, Joe might be one of the best guys on the mic in the business right now. In ring, yeah. He's really good. Technically, he's really good. I think that WWE's model confines him. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, confines a lot of the people on the roster.
And I don't think he's been given a real chance to have like an ongoing feud with anybody. He's usually a one and done. Like he's one and done with Roman, one and done with Brock, one and done with a few other guys. Seth Rollins, I think, was his longest feud. Like
AJ Styles was his longest feud.
What did he do? Oh, true. Yeah, okay, and those were good, but the matches.
They were good matches, man. I thought they were good matches.
They were okay. They weren't anything over the top. You know, they were okay. But... I love his promo skills, and I'll stay positive.
Well, yeah, didn't sound like it. I had to drag you.
I feel the power.
Hey, I'm going to say one thing that's super positive this week. Super positive. Nakamura, it looks like he's starting up a program with Rusev. So I'm excited about this because it's obviously going to involve the U.S. title. And I can't help but think, with the lack of Nakamura being on TV, and you know the U.S. title hasn't really been too much, I guess, prominent out there. I have a feeling Rusev's going to do it. I think he's going to take this title, man. And hopefully this is the start of good things for Rusev.
Okay, I'm just going to shut up. Because
I think so, man. He's going to have to lose it. He's not going to keep it that much longer. They barely.
No, I agree. I'm in agreeance. It will happen. Rusev will become U.S. title, U.S. champion, if this continues. If it wasn't a one and done, do I think the U.S. title is what I want for Rusev? Not really. I feel like the U.S. title goes on who is going to die shortly.
Well, they started kind of, I guess, a program at Starrcade. That's kind of why I started thinking this more or less. And then now again on SmackDown. So we'll see. And he jumped Rusev before the match really even started. So obviously they're going to be going into a program. So I'm hoping. I'm exciting. Lana doesn't really come down to the ring anymore with him, though. No. So they kind of like.
Where is Aiden?
I know. He wrestled. Oh, fudge. Was this Starrcade?
Fudge? What?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I know. It's a bad. I try. That's my word for work. It prevents me from swearing at work in front of all my bosses. So
I'm trying to use just the first letter. I'm like, oh, what's with all this F and S?
Yeah, F. Ah, F. Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
It's weird though. It's hard not to swear.
He wrestled on a house show, I think, that I saw against Shelton Benjamin, and he won.
Okay.
So at least they're giving him wins. Benjamin also has vanished, but yeah. So yeah. You know, is what it is, is what it is. I want to make a few mentions of NXT. I caught a little bit of it this week. Some of it I read, some of it I watched. Because I'm loving this so much. I want to do, we're adding an NXT section, okay? Every week.
We record on Wednesdays, so we're going to be a week late on everything.
Oh, fudge, it's true, eh?
Oh, my God.
Well, I guess we're recording late. I have it. Recording late, so I have the leisure. Maybe we'll do an NXT show going forward separately. Maybe I can do one quick one per week. What do you guys think? Would you like it? Let me know. I might do it. Otherwise, we'll try to squeeze what we can in, at least. But what's going on in NXT?
It's recorded, right? So we could technically talk about it. So.
Yeah, I guess so. So this kind of ties into the main roster, right? Because everyone's talking about Lars Sullivan. And he's coming to the main roster. He wouldn't be my pick for the first person to be pulled up. Yeah. But I guess they're all about injecting these behemoths. So what do you think? What do you think? What show do you think he's going to go into? And are you excited at all?
I think he is coming up to Raw if Braun Strowman is injured longer. And I think he's coming up to SmackDown to be the Braun Strowman of SmackDown if Braun Strowman is healthy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say pretty much. I pretty much figure he will go to SmackDown and be the Braun Strowman on SmackDown. But people are going to see,
I think people are going to see
right through that and call it out, you know? So
Lars Sullivan should come up with a manager. Super hot chick, and just shut up. Stop talking.
If you bring him up to Raw, people are going to start pushing immediately for Lars Sullivan versus Braun Strowman, right?
I don't get it. Do people like Lars Sullivan? Is he popular?
I'm not a huge fan. He's just like this brick wall that'll just splat you.
Like, I remember watching an NXT TakeOver, and it was Lars Sullivan versus Cassius Ohno, and everybody was like super hyped on Twitter, and I'm like, yo, I don't want to see either of these two guys wrestle.
Over Ohno. People love Ohno for some reason.
I don't get it. I'm like, Ohno! Like, get away.
Dude gained so much weight. Not saying it's a bad thing, but he's so unrecognizable from when I used to watch him. I was like,
I recognize his name, and I was like, wait, who's this guy? And then I noticed he was the dude who was always on Botchamania, and I was like, that guy was fucking jacked.
But it's almost kind of like, he's almost kind of like, dude, like, yeah, I wouldn't want to fuck with this guy.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to fuck with him. Yeah, I wouldn't want to fuck with Lars Sullivan either. It's just, I don't like the traditional look. I like bigger wrestlers.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. I think it kind of like, he looks more powerful now.
Oh, Cassius? No, I'm saying Lars Sullivan, like, his look doesn't do it for me. I'm like, he's like a bigger version of, is it Eric? Not Eric Rowan. Who's the dude from Sanity? The leader, Eric Young.
Oh, you think so? I don't know. He's like that to me.
He's like a steroid.
He looks like a Vladimir Kozlov. Not RA. What do you call it? I guess. Or they had another guy who came.
Is it Ludwig Borga?
Not too long ago. Kozlov? Was it Kozlov?
I don't know.
Maybe.
But he looks like that. He looks like strap red tights on him and he's Russian. I agree. So I don't know. He doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, it was Vladimir Kozlov. I did get it. Yeah, he kind of has like the same kind of body build, but this guy's kind of more of a freak, I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know. Just yeah, that's the
big
news.
I always prefer promo skills over just big size. So
well, that's it. I kind of like, you know, one of those kind of like tanks that can kind of come through. I like Braun Strowman because he kind of has more of a personality. Well,
Braun's good. Yeah, he's exactly. His personality comes through, you know, and he's good on the mic and he's captivating. I know Lars Sullivan isn't captivating. That's just my opinion, though.
And yeah, so like we have Matt Riddle who also debuted recently too, and we saw him at NXT TakeOver. He had that quick match with Ono where he just gave him the knee to the face and beat him. But he's been picking up wins week after week on NXT, been feuding with Ono. So have you been watching him at all?
I've watched a lot of his work. I haven't watched any of his work in NXT. He's a highlight dude, and I like watching his highlights. That double German suplex thing was fucking nuts. He looks super cool because he's tall and lanky and he wears no shoes in the ring. So he's got a very, very cool look to it. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited for him.
Cool.
Big time positive of the week.
I thought we were wondering, right? Because Kairi was fighting Shayna Baszler. We saw the end of that feud, I guess, more or less at NXT TakeOver. So we're also thinking, okay, well, who's going to be the new number one contender? And you would think with Io Shirai coming in that she might be in the running, maybe Dakota Kai. But actually, they had a match for number one contender, and Bianca Belair won the match.
She looks like a Street Fighter, man.
Like, yeah, with she her looks whip. Like some kind of fighter.
Yeah, she's dope. I like her. She's fun.
But then you have a heel versus heel, right?
Don't care. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. I like it.
I want to see more heel versus heel matches because sometimes we get to see heels, face versus face matches and they're really good. Like Seth versus Balor, right? It could be a really good match. I would like to see a nice heel versus heel match. So that might work.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
On another note, this is something I want to talk about last week. We didn't get around to it. I don't know if you heard the rumblings. I'm sure you know the heavy rumors about Jericho and the Young Bucks with All Elite Wrestling, and I think Jim Ross is involved too.
Cody?
Fuck the Revival.
Yeah.
Yep.
But pretty cool. I don't know. It's going to be competing with WWE directly.
Well, it's got to happen first, right? Before it can be anything. I heard Jericho said it was a rumor, but I think his involvement in it is a rumor, or he wants it to be a rumor because, I mean, he's a WWE guy. He's come out and said he's a WWE guy. But he's also said that he's had a shitload of fun doing this whole independent circuit over the last year. Cruise of Jericho was a huge success.
Well, he's an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Like, in his career, he's like, man, if I could do this, imagine. And, like, if anybody's going to do it, Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, like, having these guys the front runners of this company, like, man, they do stand a chance.
Pulling Jericho in is
and
huge.
Jericho, and Jericho being there. Yeah. But that's Jericho kissing the WWE goodbye, right?
So. Is it, though?
But then you could have McMahon coming in like a week later and be like, I'll give you $5 billion for it, you know? Like, and then they're like, oh, fuck it. Okay.
I don't think that they will. I think, though, that it would be in McMahon's best interest to have a guy like Jericho involved with AEW and to not make it a direct in competition with, because I think it would, I mean, McMahon will never do this. Let's be honest. He'll be like, fuck him. Well, let's squash him. But I think it would work in his benefit if he kind of had a guy that was in WWE two times a year, but that was also in AEW. I think it would benefit him.
I think so too. I think even having that crossover could be fun. You know, they should be able to do that.
And if he ever did want to sign those fuckers, that's the way to do it. You know, what's the word where you extend the olive branch?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering, man, this year's Royal Rumble could be very exciting.
Oh, my God. You see
some surprise entrance, even if it's one night only. All right, my last talking point of the night, I saved something very special to wrap up Talkamania this week, and it's on the topic of NXT. So, we have Ciampa, right? Defended his title against the Velveteen Dream. Pretty impressive, man. Great match, and it leaves you wondering, where does he go from here? Well, it looked as if Ciampa was going to get himself in the mix. You know, he's still kind of going back and forth with Aleister Black. But also at the same time, Johnny Gargano is going at it with Aleister Black because of him jumping him and, you know, incapacitating him for a while. So in the main event, the NXT event, basically Johnny Gargano was taking on Aleister Black. And in the end result, Ciampa ended up coming down and blocking Aleister Black from exiting the cage. And at which point they both beat down an Aleister Black, Gargano, and Ciampa, and then hit their DIY finisher, boy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. So those guys have reunited. Isn't that going to be interesting, man, as heels now? Fuck, man. So they that's pretty exciting.
They were never heels before?
No. When they were a tag team, they were like super face, like, you know, a kind of one like, I don't know, like the fan favorite kind of heartthrob team, kind of like, yeah, DIY. And then, you know, they had a falling out. Ciampa turned heel, basically attacked Gargano. That's kind of where that whole thing kind of right, ended up escalating. Yeah. These guys have been through war and back now. And now that they're reuniting as heels. So it's going to be interesting to see. These guys literally tried to kill each other, and now they're amigos again. But I think Ciampa was already alluding to it a couple weeks back when Gargano took his heel turn and saying how, like, you know, he's proud of Gargano, and like he kind of like opened his eyes, and now he sees how things are, and like, I don't know, you kind of see them getting back on the same page. So a lot of us felt like this was going to happen, but now it's official. So I'm a little bit excited to see what happens, but maybe at TakeOver it's going to be a triple threat. Who knows? Maybe they're not exactly back on the same page, but they did hit their finisher. So it looks pretty cool. I'm excited. NXT's been great, man. Check it out. Watch it every NXT's week, folks. You don't know what you're missing. 205 Live too, man. It's been enjoyable. It's good wrestling, man.
Pee-pee pants. That's another episode of Talkamania in the Bank, guys. Check us out on Twitter @_Talkamania, on Spotify, on anywhere else that you can find podcasts, Podbean, Twitter, wherever you are, we're there. We tried to keep it positive this week. I think we did a better job.
No, we didn't. We tried. I mean, I tried, but...
I'm trying. It's tough. It's a tough week to do it. But, guys, check out our shit. Check out Dez on Twitch, Talkamaniacs. Follow us, Twitch channel. It's fun times.
Yeah, man. I was playing some Red Dead this weekend, man. I even had a follower with me this week who went fishing and hunting with me. And, dude, we had some good times, man. Check it out. Happy Rusev Day.
On behalf of J-Bomb, I'm out. Dez, say bye.
Suckers walk.
Suckers walk! Ugh!